You also get people who actually are infected with the virus, and we're going to get hold of one now. It's Andrew McPherson, who's an executive with Old Mutual, and he.
Okay.
Hello, Andrew. You've just I was busy telling David Shapiro about your little story, but much better that you tell us the story. But just by way of background, last night I was looking at my LinkedIn feed, Dave. And Andrew did an interview with Bronwyn Nielsen, our colleague. He's on the line to us now. Andrew, why did you decide to talk to Bronwyn about the fact that you do have coronavirus?
It was mainly Bronwyn's idea because I'm friends with her husband, Ian. My real concern was just around how unprepared we were for what was coming down the line. I mean, I'd been in Europe and I'd been seeing what was happening in Italy and seeing in Iran. And when I arrived in South Africa, there just seemed to be no sense of what we were about to be hit with.
What happened?
And that really concerned me.
How did you pick up the virus?
So I don't know. I traveled from South Africa, from Cape Town, via Dubai to London. I had a meeting in London and then I traveled to Zurich. I went skiing in Verbier, and then I traveled back via Zurich, via Dubai, to Cape Town. So you never know when you picked it up. It's somewhere along that trip.
Mm. And when did you know that you were infected?
So the problem was because there's been such little kind of information about this. I didn't know I was infected. I mean, I think what made me aware was I worked for Old Mutual and they issued a statement while I was in London that I wasn't coming back to work for 3 weeks, which I guess kind of started to raise alarm bells. And then, seeing everything over there while we were there, I kind of suddenly got nervous about my parents. I had a slight sore throat, but I've been skiing before and you're going from hot to cold. It was very, very mild. I had a very mild sore throat and a dry cough, but I never thought I was sick. So when I got back, I thought, look, I'll go for a test to be 100% sure I'm not carrying the coronavirus. And I was completely gobsmacked when I was tested positive.
Mm. Where did you test positive?
I tested positive in Cape Town.
At your doctor's room?
So that was also the problem. I came back and I decided I was going to have a test and at that stage it was before there were private tests, so the only testing that was being done was when you got permission from the NICD to get a test. Now I came back from a high kind of risk area with the sore throat and a dry cough, and my doctor said don't come into my rooms, rather let me organize your test. So I waited at home for 2 days while my doctor begged the NICD to give me a test.
My GP has sent out a WhatsApp, Dave. I don't know if you've also been receiving these kind of things, but she said, please, if you've got exactly the symptoms that Andrew's talking about, don't come into the surgery, because if you do, we're out for 14 days.
So that's the biggest risk here, and this is where I think we are still behind the curve. Since my story came and I did try to make an effort to get it out there, but I think things have slightly improved. But people with coronavirus can't go to hospitals. You know, if you go into a hospital and this virus gets into a hospital, it can decimate sick people in that hospital. They're the most at risk. Now you can't take a healthy person, go for a test in a hospital, the virus is then going into the hospital. Now, when I went through this process, the thing that scared me as well was I went to one of the biggest private hospitals in the Cape. My doctor had told them I was coming into the emergency room. They put me in the waiting room with the pregnant woman.
Never.
Yeah. And that was when I started raising the alarm. I got hold of Alan Windy from Western Cape. I got hold of the head who was running the Western Cape. I said, this is crazy, guys. We need to be more on top of it. But I'll tell you another scary story. So last night, because since I've raised the awareness, people have been contacting me. And last night, a person I work with phoned me in a bit of a state because one of their young relative of theirs had tested positive. That young relative was taken to a doctor. The doctor in South Africa, in Cape Town, knew that they were from London, still tested the young child. The child was tested on the Friday at a private testing facility. The parents of the child then asked, they were supposed to fly to Joburg on the Saturday. And the doctor and the private testing facility said to them, yes, you can fly, take your barcode with you and you'll get your results in Joburg. So they basically said to them, you might be coronavirus positive, get an airplane, fly to Joburg and we'll tell you in Joburg if you're positive or not. That's what's going on right now.
Yeah, surely after last night and the president's message, and clearly you would have listened to it more carefully than most, that's going to change.
So I'm hoping so. I'm really hoping so. I can honestly say to you that I feel a sense of relief that the president has come out like he has. I think I commend him for what he's done. I think it's like a brave leader to do what he's done. But I still think people still need to take personal responsibility for this. I mean, I'm still seeing Facebook posts. I'm still seeing Instagram posts where people are saying, "Oh, this is all hype, this bullshit." You know, excuse my language, but it's crazy. It's crazy that people can still believe that this is hype.
Mm. Andrew, how exactly are you feeling now? Just maybe give us some sense of when one gets the virus, what happens?
So that is the scariest thing, is for 80% of us, 85% of us, we're not going to feel a thing. I mean, I feel like I had a very mild cold, and I've now got slightly aggressive flu. My joints are sore. But for the beginning, and I'm probably not infectious anymore, but for the beginning parts of this virus, you're not even aware that you are sick, and you know, you think our natural psych is, well, I'm not that sick. I'll go to work. I'll go to the shops. I'll carry on with my life. And then if I am sick, then I'll stay at home. But that stage, it's too late because we've infected a whole lot of people.
Would you have gone to work ordinarily if there was no coronavirus with the symptoms that you have?
So yes, I would have. I probably would have gone to work with it. And that's what I said. I'm not trying to put myself on a pedestal and say I'm the model citizen here. I was very lucky that my work, you know, instigated this policy and they made me aware of this while I was overseas. Otherwise, I would have come back and carried on my life as normal.
Mm. What do you? How long do you expect that you're going to be off work, or at least at home?
So I'm working from home. I mean, I'm 95% okay. I've got sore muscles, and I'm quite tired in the mornings when I get up. It takes me. This thing seems to have your body seems to fight it more when you're sleeping than not. But I mean, I'm working from home. My life is carrying on as normal. They say that you are sick for about 14 days when you stop showing signs, when you stop having symptoms. So when the flu-ish feeling's gone, they will come and test again. And then I'll test a few days later, and if both tests are negative, then you can kind of resume your life.
So you need to be tested before you can go back into society.
Yeah, yeah.
But there are 58 million people in South Africa.
Huh? Well, that is the problem. I mean, I don't know how we. I think we need to think about this. But and that's again, it's people taking responsibility for their own actions. I think from what I've read is you're only really infectious from the first 7 days you're infectious from when you get it till 7 days after you start showing symptoms, and then you start becoming less and less infectious. So you should be once your symptoms have gone and a few days have passed, you should be theoretically safe. I don't think that we have got the infrastructure to support testing people who are recovering from this twice. I don't know how we're going to deal with it.
Mm. I'm sure that that kind of fact is going to start permeating, and clearly there will be a change in that approach. But from your perspective, you're the head of balance sheet management at Old Mutual Emerging Markets. That's a big job. And it's one where you have to apply rationality on a day-to-day basis. When you have a look at the balance sheet of South Africa or the balance sheet of the world with these stock markets, and you've been as close to coronavirus as anybody else, what are you making of it?
So, unfortunately, we don't have an option. You know, I just think, you know, I've been doing a bit of reading and kind of thinking while I've been at home. But you know, maybe this is a point in time where actually things, you know, the world needs to come to a stop and realize that there's actually maybe there is more to life than than killing ourselves in 14-hour working weeks. Maybe there is more to life than whether the stock market goes up or down. And I think at this point in time, the world needs to realize that we're actually going to need to stop. We're going to need to come to a halt to clear the world of this virus. I know it's easier said than done, but you know, I think society has to mobilize and realize that right now, the priority has got to be to clearing the world of this virus, and then we can resume economic activity. And the longer it takes the world has to realize that, I think the worse it's going to be for us. But you know, with the outbreak of the SARS virus, they were months away from creating a vaccine. The reality was that SARS virus was solved and wasn't an issue anymore. So they put a hold on finishing off the vaccine. So that vaccine has been on ice. If they had just got the funding to finish that vaccine is probably effective against this virus. So as you said, it's a short-sighted thinking of capitalism because there's no money in it. We're not going to fund it anymore. So now we are 12 months behind the curve. Whereas if they had continued and completed that vaccine, we would probably be fine right now.
Andrew,
it's a lot to think about.
Just a final question. You did say that you thought President Ramaphosa had done a good thing last night with his reaction in shutdown of South Africa. Why would you say that?
So I think for they're finally taking it seriously. As I said, you can pick holes. You can pick holes in everyone's actions, and maybe there are some inconsistencies in it. But I think he's taken a firm stance, and it's a brave stance to take. What I didn't really agree with was the fact that he praised the actions that we've taken before this, which I don't agree with. I think we're behind the curve. But I don't think that should rest solely on the shoulders of government. That's all of us. You know, this virus has been around since November last year, and this is the first time we take it seriously. And that is private sector, individual people. I mean, I'm just as guilty. I went skiing. I went off on a skiing trip in the midst of a global pandemic, which look, it did blow up while we were over there. But I went off on a skiing holiday. You know, we have taken this way too casually, and all of us are responsible for it. And I think we need to take stock of the fact that we haven't taken this serious enough in the past, and we need to take it very seriously now if we're going to rid ourselves of it.